Well, in our passage for today, Jesus and the disciples have finally made their way to the shore on the other side of the sea, just after Jesus had calmed the storm. Now, we don't know exactly what Jesus was thinking. Matthew doesn't tell us, but we can imagine. I kind of imagine that as that boat landed on shore after that violent storm and Jesus had calmed the weather, I imagine Jesus may have been thinking to himself, now maybe I'll finally get some rest and relaxation. I tried to rest on the boat, but the storm came and the disciples woke me up. And now, though, we're away from all the crowds. We have crossed safely over to the other side. The storm was calmed. Maybe now things will calm down just a little bit. Well, if that's what Jesus was thinking, he was in for a surprise when their boat landed on the other side of the sea. The Bible tells us that when their boat landed, quote, two demon-possessed men come running out of the tombs to meet them. Now, that's a welcoming committee, don't you think? Two demon-possessed men running out of the cemetery to greet you when your boat lands on the other side. Surely this was a frightening scene for Jesus and the disciples. But not only was it frightening, these men were violent. The Bible says they were so violent that, quote, no one could pass that way. So think about what is happening here. Jesus and the disciples are in a new place. They are tired and weary from several long days and occurrences, including a death-defying storm on the water. And now they're met by demon-possessed men who live among the dead in the tombs. If the disciples were afraid of the storms, we can only imagine how afraid they are when they land on the shore. Not only are these men violent, the Bible tells us they were loud. They were yelling, they were screaming at Jesus. In fact, they screamed at him saying, "What do you want with us, Son of God?" They scream at Jesus, "Have you come to torture us before the appointed time?" This is a strange and bizarre scene that the disciples and Jesus are facing. But you know what Jesus did as he usually did? Jesus healed the two men and restored their lives. What might we learn from this miracle? Well, let's start by talking about demon possession. The idea of being possessed by a demon is not talked as much about in our world today as it was in the day of Jesus. But in the Gospels, we read of several occasions where Jesus and the disciples were faced with someone who was described as being possessed by a demon. Now, it's important for us to understand that in the ancient world, the common belief was that demons and evil spirits inhabited this world. And their goal was to cause pain and destruction and heartache to human beings as much as possible. And these demons and evil spirits were everywhere. The evil spirits and demons were all in the air. In fact, the common belief was that one could not hold up a needle and the point of the needle not touch an evil spirit or a demon. Some rabbis taught that 10,000 evil spirits and demons hovered around a person's right hand, and 10,000 more demons hovered around a person's left hand. They wanted nothing more than to cause pain and heartache and destruction to human beings. These demons were the enemies of humanity. In the ancient mindset, demons and evil spirits lived in unclean places. They lived in cemeteries. They lived in places where there was no clean water. They lived in the desert where their howling could be heard into the dark of the night. They were especially dangerous to the lonely traveler, one who was by himself or herself on the road, especially at night. Demons were everywhere, trying their best to hurt and harm human beings. The male demons were called Shedim, and the male demons brought about harm to adults, both male and female. The female demons were called Lilin. They had long hair. They were especially believed to be dangerous to children, which is why every child needed a guardian angel for his or her protection. And this belief that these evil spirits and demons would inhabit the bodies of people was so prevalent that, as we read in John's gospel, the Jewish leaders accused Jesus of being possessed by a demon. Now, I don't know what you believe about demon possession, but I read an interesting study this week. According to a 2012 study that was conducted by the Public Policy Polling Organization, they said this: 44% of Americans over 65 years of age believe in demon possession. 44%. 57% of Americans between the ages of 47 and 66 believe in demon possession. But among the youngest group surveyed, Americans between the ages of 18 and 29, 63% believed in possession by demons or being possessed by a demon. Now, it's interesting statistics. Maybe the younger folk among us are more apt to believe in demon possession. But this morning, we can say this: regardless of our belief in demon possession, few, if any, of us believe in demons and evil spirits inhabiting this world in the same way in which the people of Jesus' day believed in them. So, back to our text for this morning. Jesus and the disciples were just getting out of the boat, but they could not pass by because these violent men possessed by demons were in front of them. They were trapped. The water was behind them. The two demon-possessed men were in front of them. The Bible tells us that the demons knew that it was time for a showdown. But the demons also knew that Jesus would probably win. They said to Jesus, "Have you come here to torture us?" And then they say that most interesting comment: "If you are going to cast us out, then there's a herd of pigs over here. Why don't you send us into the pigs?" And the Bible says that's when the amazing miracle happens. Jesus, with one word uttered from his lips, creates this amazing miracle. At that point, Jesus simply said, "Go." And the demons leave. They go into the pigs. We're told the pigs run down the embankment that was there beside them into the water, and they all drowned. Now, it is at this part of the story that some people have problems or issues with what happens. Some people read this story and they wonder, well, why would Jesus cause these evil spirits to leave these two men only to enter into the bodies of this innocent herd of pigs and lead them to destruction? Was it possible for Jesus to cure these men without hurting these pigs? Was it necessary for Jesus to allow the pigs to die? Do we think that Jesus intentionally wanted these pigs to be killed? Well, we don't really know. But I think here's what Matthew would say to us today. I think Matthew would say these questions are really diversions from what is most important. Because in Matthew's mind, the fate of the pigs is not what Matthew is concerned about. It is the fate of these two men that Matthew really wants us to focus on. And when we focus on the changed lives of these two individuals, I believe we can say this morning that there are at least two things that we could think about to apply to our lives today. First is this: Jesus can heal you. Jesus can heal you. Jesus can heal us. Jesus can heal your family. Jesus can heal your friends. Jesus is the cure for our ailments. Think about this. If Jesus can heal these two men who are possessed by demons, who live in the cemeteries, then Jesus can heal whatever it is that you are dealing with today. Listen, I think this is so important. The adversary of this world would love nothing more than for you to believe in the absolute worst about your situation. The adversary of God, the adversary of this world, the adversary of your abundant life wants nothing more than for you to believe in the absolute worst case scenario for your life. The evil of this world wants you to believe God is helpless in your situation. Those who oppose God want us to heave a heavy sigh and resign ourselves to feelings of depression and hopelessness. But you know what? When God is involved, anything can happen. The very one who caused and directed the stone to hit Goliath between his eyes, the very one who parted the Red Sea so that the Israelites could walk across on dry land, the very one who enabled and empowered a small group of Israelites to walk around the walls of Jericho and play music and pray, and the walls come tumbling down, that same God is alive and active in our lives today. God alters the inevitable and bypasses the impossible. These lives of these two men were healed. Think about Doris that we saw today, lives in Tennessee, overwhelmed by life circumstances, surely at times praying out, God, what can be done to help? And a group of people offer God's grace. The lives of these two men in our text today, before Jesus and the disciples landed on that shore, were utterly hopeless and full of misery. We can only imagine what their lives were like. They couldn't relate to others in normal ways. They had been outcasts from their homes and their families. They were constantly ridiculed and despised. For these two men, life had been pure misery. No joy, no abundance, no fulfillment. But with one word, Jesus changed all that. With one word, simply saying, go, their lives were completely changed. Today, no matter what we are going through, no matter what your circumstances might be, have hope. Jesus can heal you. Does it happen all the time? No. It happens according to God's plan. We know that. But what we're told and reminded of today is Jesus can heal us. Have hope. But there's something else here that we can't miss as well. There's joy and there's hope and there's comfort and good news, but there's also tragedy in this story. And this grace and tragedy go hand in hand in this account. The tragedy comes with those who are watching this miracle, those who were herding the pigs. Now, the normal reaction in Jesus' life when he went into a community and he started healing people was that others would hear about it and other sick and lame people would come to him to get healed. It was exciting. It was great news that Jesus was there and he was bringing about healing, but not in this case, not in this community. When the men herding these pigs ran back into town and told everyone what had happened, there was no rejoicing, no celebration. We don't read of other sick people coming to Jesus. We don't read of people rejoicing that the lives of these two men were changed. No, this time the Bible says that the whole town went out to meet Jesus. But not because they were happy. Not because they were excited. The whole town came because they were mad. They were angry. And they beg Jesus to do what? To leave. They don't want Jesus there. They are not happy about what he has done. They see him as a troublemaker, and they plead for Jesus to leave their presence and their community and their lives as soon and as quickly as possible. Why? Well, the New Testament scholar William Barclay says, the reaction here of these town people is human selfishness at its worst. Human selfishness at its worst. You see, it didn't really matter to these individuals that new life had come to two individuals who were hurting in their community. It didn't really matter to them that grace had come and changed the lives of these two men in the cemetery. All that mattered to them was their pigs had died. Their things had been messed with and bothered. One person has written, that's how we as human beings are sometimes. We say, I don't care what happens as long as my things, my money, my livelihood, my home, my job, my schedule, my comforts, my easy life are not disturbed. Two people's lives have been completely changed, but that didn't matter. Jesus had disrupted their comfort. I wonder, maybe the biggest, meanest, disruptive demons in this story were not the demons that inhabited the two men in the cemetery. Maybe the biggest, most evil demons in this story have nothing to do with the two bothered, disturbed men who come to greet Jesus and the disciples. Maybe the biggest, harshest, meanest, most evil demons are those who control the attitude of the people in the town. Isn't it crazy? Two people's lives were completely changed. They went from utterly hopeless to abundant, renewed. But the people didn't care. I have to look at myself. We have to look at ourselves. This kind of thing would never happen in the church with Christians, would it? We would never fail to rejoice in the saving grace that God offers to the lives of another person just because it might cost us something, right? Certainly, we don't have demons in our attitudes. Surely we would never tell Jesus to leave because he's upsetting our comfortable lives. Here's the most frightening thought I had this past week. Jesus spent more time dealing with the evil spirits and the corrupt attitudes inside the church than he did with those outside the church. Isn't that frightening? Jesus can heal you. Jesus can heal those around us. But that healing and that grace, it just might cost us something. It just might involve some sacrifice on our part for us to be healed or for other people to be healed. Two people were saved that day. They were redeemed. They were given new life. And the people said, Jesus, please get out of here. Stop upsetting our comfortable lives. Grace sometimes causes problems, especially when maintaining our comfort is our top priority. Grace is often inconvenient. It can be messy. It can even disrupt our everyday lives, but the Bible reminds us of this. We don't want to miss God's grace. As inconvenient as it might be, as costly and as sacrificially as it may come into our lives, we don't want to miss God's grace. And we are called and challenged to make sure that no one else misses God's grace either. For today, through all of God's word, we are reminded it is the grace of God. It is the grace of God that is our hope. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, today we are grateful for your word that reminds us of our hope in you and of the good news that we can be healed and of the challenging word that we may sacrifice of ourselves for others. So Lord, lead us and guide us in your grace that brings about your mercy and your love and your truth. For we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.